right. We're back.
Hey.
Hey.
We're back.
I'm exhausted. This is no way to do things, I got to tell you. So I wanted to be back for MLB Trade Deadline Day, mm-hmm. which is today, by the way, people. Yep. Welcome, welcome. It's the MLB Trade Deadline Show, the J.D. Bunks podcast. Mm-hmm. Mistake. Should have just ducked out on this. Should have just said, hey, taken a knee and gone, hey, you know, you're old and you're doing a pretty heavy trip here. I don't think you're going to be able to recover in time for this. By the way, I get to sports on the West Coast. I have zero respect for West Coast sports fans. I'm sorry. And I know there are podcast wow. listeners that are West Coast sports fans, and I grew up a West Coast sports fan. But it's just, it's impossible. Like, it makes sense where I'm from. Whitehorse, right? You're from the Yukon? There's nothing going on. It's cold. You got to be inside. TV is your friend, right? Mm-hmm. You're out there in BC and Seattle, and it's gorgeous, and the games are on at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or in the weekends. Oh, 11?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
true.
Like, it's like, oh, right, the Jays.
The Jays at 10 a.m.
If you remember by the fourth inning, you're a hero, you know? Like, you remember by the fourth inning, amazing for you. So I watched some games. I did take in a few, but I definitely missed a lot. I missed a lot. This is the most baseball I've missed in a long time. Like, this is it. I watch more of the crappy 2017, 2018 seasons now than I'll have watched of this one, thanks to missing a few games on the West Coast because of that schedule and, yeah, doing other things. But come back, and what happens? It's deadline day, and the Jays superstar player locks up with a knee injury as they lose to the Baltimore Orioles. So I don't have much to say on the Bow injury because we're all just waiting. I got Shy in a few minutes. I'm hoping that he's going to at least be able to give us the tenor of this injury. All we got yesterday was we're gathering more information from John Schneider, right? And you go, okay, thank you. Gather all of
you
the
let us know when the information's gathered.
But I got to tell you, gathering information wasn't great either.
No.
That's not great.
Yeah.
That's just my initial thought is if you need to gather more information, that means the information you have, like, you don't
love. It's a bit of a question mark. Yeah.
No one said, hey, he's actually going to be fine. And they were like, let's gather more information. Yeah. Let's gather more information and see if he's actually all right. I feel like the information they're gathering is how quickly can we get him back on the field? Hey, what are the options here? Mm-hmm. Didn't look good. And he's not a faker, too. You know, sometimes there's those players who...
Yeah.
You know, because at first my hope was that he was kind of faking, that he turned the base too quick and that he knew he was going to be gunned down. So he did the Ben Johnson.
He pulled up lame.
You know? He's like, oh, yeah, no, actually, I'm hurt. That's why this happened. And it didn't really look like that. When he was hobbling off the field, my heart sunk. I felt sick, and my phone started to blow up, and I went, great. This is welcome back to
welcome
the show.
Welcome back.
No Bubba shit. What I will say about the injury, even unless they know, they gather the information, they say, hey, he's completely out for the season, I just don't know what you do. I don't know how this really changes your deadline plans. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get a little splashier with the bat, which I'll talk about in a sec, but like, you can't replace Bo Bichette. It's the best hitter on your team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the face of your franchise now. Like, there's nobody that you're going out and trying to get some shortstop rental to make this happen. Like, your shortstop is going to be Espinal. Like, that's just, it is what it is. And maybe he has his Steve Pierce moment for you in a World Series run. But yeah, it's all like, that's it. That's basically the season if Bo Bichette is down. And that's the heartbreaking thing about today, because when it did come back, there was like a lot of optimism about the Blue Jays. Yeah. They went out and got Hicks, mm-hmm. who was warming up yesterday. And he is one of the best acquisitions you can get because all the stats are amazing.
Hey,
look at this highlight of a guy who can touch 104 on the gun. Yeah. You're like, yeah.
Flamethrower.
Yeah.
And his gas.
And he sucked in the least important part of the year. Yeah. Right? The very beginning, he sucked. He couldn't throw the ball over the plate. He was just all over the place. His ERA ballooned over 7. But ever since, he's been lights out. And all of his highlights are nasty. And here's why I love the Hicks trade, okay? I get it. And BNS wrote a great piece up on Sportsnet.ca about how they're going to lose the war battle. And how this is one where I don't see the Jays re-signing this guy. Maybe Shy feels a little differently. He would know better than I would. But considering that St. Louis tried to negotiate with him in pretty major figures territory, and the way that this front office has pieced together bullpens, it's difficult for me to envision them going, yeah, yeah, we're going to break the bank on a relief pitcher. Doubt it. Yeah. Doubt it. Doubt it. It's not really the Moneyball way of doing things, is building bullpens out with that kind of splashy signing, especially given that, like, yeah, this guy's not Mariano Rivera. He doesn't have like an 8-year track record of being nasty. And an arm like that, you got to figure there's a lot of risk to it too. I don't know. I think this is a pure rental. You traded a couple of guys who will give you some back end starting depth, which is a little bit more important than I think some people are making it out to seem, because that burnt this team a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's been sort of one of the issues that they've had over the last couple of seasons, is trying to figure out what that's going to look like for them. They opened up the year, don't forget, with, it was like Zach Thompson we were talking about here. Mm-hmm. It was not a pretty picture. And they're lucky, because the Jays, despite this Bo Bichette thing, they're second in baseball in games missed to injury. They have been extraordinarily healthy.
Yeah.
So yeah, obviously trading these two depth pitchers that could end up being back into the rotation guys could serve a lot of value for teams, right? Even back of the rotation guys, what does Yusei Kikuchi cost? $12 million, $13 million a season? It's not cheap. It's not cheap to get those guys on the free agent market, especially guys who are proven. So if you can nail that on rookie deals, those dudes have a ton of value. It's something. I'm not trying to make it out to be nothing, but you didn't trade a top tier prospect that someday is going to come back to haunt you because they just have the nastiest stuff. Mm-hmm. And you have to sit there for 8 years and go, oh my God, can you believe the Blue Jays traded that guy for what? Like what? A few outings from a relief pitcher who throws 100?
Yeah.
Can't have it. This one's fine. And but why I really love the Hicks deal, why I really, really like it, and why, where I'm going to go to with the bats in a second here, is he's a difference maker. Like, go look at some of the trades that are being made right now. It's like A.J. Pollock just got traded, right? The Giants grab him. Mm-hmm. That's cool. He might turn it around. It's a depth piece, right? I hope the Jays do moves like that as well. I hope that they add a little bit of depth to their organization, especially if they don't have Bo for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a guy who maybe has one moment in a playoff series, but likely doesn't. Guy who's hitting, I think, under 200 this season. Just not great. And how many of the options right now that you've seen, are you going as a Jays fan, oh man, that guy in the fall, that guy in big playoff games could really make a difference. That guy would really matter day in, day out. It's not many. The list has not been long. It's been a very unsexy seller's market where a bunch of buyers have wanted to do stuff, but like, why hasn't anybody done anything yet? Nobody's moved. Baltimore, Yankees, Boston, everybody's just kind of sitting on their hands. Yeah. I don't think it's because they don't want to do anything. I think it's because they're looking at the market and going, who is the impact guy? Jays went out and got one of the impact guys. Reliever that throws 100, who, if you're protecting a lead now, you've got Swanson, Romano, and him. Brilliant. You feel pretty damn good about getting out of games. Look at what the Orioles had last night, where they bring in these just two disgusting guys, where you look at them and go, how has they, have they ever blown a lead? Yeah. They went and they were like, Cano's given up 2 home runs this year. I went, really? 2? That's a lot.
It's August, by the way.
Yeah, like that's a lot for him because he's just disgusting. You're hoping and praying that the Jays can come up with a miracle against those guys. And I want to have that feeling if the Jays are protecting a lead. The other part of it is that I don't think that they're going to be able to materially change this offense too much. It's just not, it's a, I love it because the offense is fine on paper. They stack up against everybody else and you go, yeah, it's all right. You know, OPS and all this stuff. But the runners in scoring position thing is just a real thing. It's just, it's the story of the year. Maybe it turns on its ear. Maybe there's a positive regression point where everything changes all of a sudden. But yeah, they're 0-10 again last night and they're 14 of their last 74. 14 of their last 74 with runners in scoring position. So, mm-hmm. I'd like to see them out of bat. But now you're talking about Bo being out of the lineup for a little while. They're not bringing a bat that's better than Bo.
Yeah.
It's not like this number's going to improve. I think the Jays are going to have to win some tight ball games. I think that's pretty clear. It's going to be postseason baseball. It's going to be elite pitching. You're going to be protecting a lead. How'd they blow it last year? They blew a lead against the Seattle Mariners. They're going to be playing it tight. They're not going to be winning these games with 10-run outings, I don't think, for the most part. So, yeah, go get a difference maker. Go get Jordan Hicks. I'm a big, big fan of this trade. I really like this trade. It, again, probably ends up being one that the war, as Ben Nicholson-Smith put it, ends up not being in the Jays' favor and that they overpaid and blah, blah, blah. But I think that this is what winning teams do. And I liked it because it reminded me of that JP Ricciardi conversation I had right before he left, where he said, hey, you got to have that extra commitment to win, and you can't be happy with the status quo. And this bullpen, year over year over year, we've criticized them for not having enough high velo punch out stuff.
Yeah.
Well, this is the price of doing business here. You went out and you did the thing. You got the guy that people have been clamoring for the last couple of years. And now finally, a group that's been basically killed by everybody for not building the right bullpen has one that looks pretty nasty, assuming Jordan Romano can get back healthy and all the other guys can remain a little bit of what they are. And also, they were taxed, man. Those guys had pitched so many different innings. Like, you looked at, what was it, the Dodgers game where they blew it late?
Yeah.
They had one in Seattle, same thing.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, these guys are going to be able to make a difference. This guy makes a difference, gives everybody a little bit of a rest, makes them be a little bit easier with the Romano thing. And yeah, it's just, it's the trade that people have wanted. Now it's about the next one. So what's the next move? I said, I don't think that they can address Bobichet. It's just, it's too big of a hole. There's nothing that you're doing about that other than maybe you're setting your sights a little bit higher on a bat. And what did I say about Hicks? I love it because he's an impact player. This isn't somebody that's just a depth piece or a bench piece or a pinch hitting option or someone that can jump over one of your end of your rotate or roster guys. Okay. Go get Tail. Bring him home. What other impact bat is there? Like, okay, there's what Tommy Pham's name's been kicking around forever. Fine. It's a grinder, kind of a clutch guy. Tail had some pretty clutch ABs for the Blue Jays last year. And I don't know how he would feel potentially about having to be a part-time guy or what his role would be. And again, if Bo's out, then maybe they can get a little bit more creative with it. I didn't think that it would have been a good fit for this entire season where he would have had to basically split DH reps with Brandon Belt. But now for the stretch run, trying to win a World Series, coming back to Toronto, they know him in the clubhouse. That just seems like the impact guy to me. I can't wait to talk to Shai and maybe hear some of those other names. But that's it. Have that extra commitment to win. Don't stay happy with the status quo. If you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. Like, let's go. Let's do this. All right. Shai Davidi time. What's up, brother? How are we doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm surprisingly okay for being back after missing the last 10 days of work. We're rolling. We're in this thing. Now I'm thinking about it, it's a good day to be back, that there's all these things going on.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, the Blue Jays had that little wrinkle thrown into their trade deadline last night with Bo Bichette. And certainly a lot of different considerations going on right now.
Okay, so let's just start with this. What's your understanding of the tone around Bo Bichette right now? Because, yeah, gathering information, I said at the outset, doesn't sound like the greatest thing.
No, but I think it's generic enough that the Blue Jays are trying not to tip their hand just before the trade deadline. Because, like, why would you? Like, I figured that they would just say the exact minimum and give as little detail as possible, which is exactly what happened. Again, because there's no incentive for you to put out more information than that and give it to other teams. But I think there's a lot of concern. And, talked to Vladdy last night, and, he was pretty worried. He called Bo their best hitter right now. Chris Bassett called him their best player. You think that, when you're talking about that kind of impact, there's obviously a ton of concern. And, Bo is super tough. For him to come off the field, it's something that's not good. So, maybe the Blue Jays can dodge a bullet here. They've been remarkably fortunate from a health perspective all season long. But this one has a chance to be big.
Do you think that if it is big, it would actually materially change their deadline plan?
I don't know if it necessarily materially changes your plan, but I think they at least kicked around Tim Anderson to some degree. I'm sure that Paul DeJong, it came up during their talks with the Cards in some way, shape, or form. Does that maybe, if you're kind of on the fence on that, saying, well, we could do this, maybe we don't need to do this, maybe that tips the scale. So, yeah, you know what? Let's backfill. Let's have that here on our bench, and we'll figure out if this is a short-term thing for Bo, figure out what we do with the depth after the fact. I think the clear need is an offensive piece. And it's kind of funny. I've been kind of thinking about it, like, you'd ideally like somebody with some power. And, the way somebody framed it to me the other day was – you know, it doesn't have to be a power bat. It just has to be someone with a track record of driving in runs. Mm-hmm. And because that's really the gap. And obviously power is certainly one way to drive in runs. But, you know, you want somebody who's good situationally, because that's really a way to impact the lineup. And so, you know, I think that's probably what you're looking for. And do you want a little bit more if Bo's going to be out for a while? Sure. But, you know, I think you were, given the way the roster is constructed, you were trying to find something up the food chain no matter what.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny. I had this conversation with Shulman like a couple of weeks ago when I first kind of started kicking around Teoscar. And he was cool with it, but he did mention that, you know, he liked the profile of a guy that was a little bit more of a grinded out veteran at the plate, right? That was able to get on in a variety of different ways. And that, yeah, it's a little, you know, Teo being the all or nothing type, maybe profiles a bit too much with some of the rest of this team. And that, yeah, maybe you aren't just looking for that power bat. Before I even just kind of get into some of those names, what do you make of the runners in scoring position thing? Because I don't think I've actually talked to you about this. And last night, they're 0-10 again. They're 14 of their last 74. Listen, you're a smart guy. You follow this game for a long time. Like, what do you... I know it's always never like one thing, right? But if you had to put your finger on the thing about this team, it's beyond just bad luck. Where do you start?
I mean, it's... I don't know that there is an answer, right? Like, everybody's been searching for this thing all year long. Like, if there was something there, mm-hmm. it wouldn't. And like, baseball is dumb sometimes, right? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And yeah. This is one of those things where it's like, you have this team that's doing all these things right, and then suddenly in these situations, it's not playing out for them. I mean, it just doesn't really compute. And so, I don't know, like the whole argument, does clutch exist? Does it not exist? Is clutch really just guys able to keep their heart rate the same pace? I think all that's in there a little bit. You know, one theory I've heard is that maybe some of the issues driving in runs early in the season kind of put a bit more weight on guys, and then it kind of snowballs, and then it, you know, over the course of time, it starts becoming a thing and becomes harder to let go. I'm sure it's like a million little things as opposed to sort of one big thing. But I think you look at the fact that this is a group that puts innings together, puts pressure on teams. You have to trust that eventually it turns. But again, sometimes it doesn't, because baseball can be dumb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's been some guys that have been pretty disappointing bats this year for them that they've missed, and some of the depth is hurt, which I think has been a little papered over, like the Varsho. Yeah, the Varsho part of this, Kirk struggles for a long time, how important of a bat that he was supposed to be. Even just like, yeah, getting out of the gate, how Belt struggled and then turned it around and was one of their better players. Vladdy just not having a season that we expect him to have. But if you think about the clutch part of it, which, you know, I'm a bit of a believer in. I don't think that it's – I think it's the way that you mentioned it, where guys are able to maintain their level. These guys are professionals. There's a lot of vets in there that can hit. They're probably fine. But if you do think that there's a decent element of, yeah, a psychological impact at this point, doesn't it make the case even stronger to say, hey, go out and get a bat that isn't just going to be – yeah, pinch hit guy. Go out and get someone like a Teoscar Hernandez who is going to hit for you often and in the middle and maybe change the complexion of your group.
Yeah, I mean, sure. But, I mean, the one thing you're going to keep in mind is, like, this is a really tight market for hitters.
Yep.
Right? Like, who's the best offensive player that's moved so far? Carlos Santana?
Yeah.
You know, and Carlos Santana could have been, you know, potentially a fit in some ways, although positionally it's not ideal. Mm-hmm. There just aren't a lot of bats that have moved so far, and I expect some of them to go. You know, it makes sense for, if you're a selling team and you've got a bat, to hang on all the way down to the deadline and sort of drive up interest, because everybody wouldn't mind having a little bit more thump in their lineup. Mm-hmm. So I do think that's tough, but yeah, in an ideal world, sure. The Blue Jays, they feel like a lineup that could use one more major threat in it, mm-hmm. right? And when they made the initial Teoscar deal last year, you look in the lineup, you're like, okay, well, if you know, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is still a part of it, then, you know, it's still going to be okay because he's the kind of hitter that he is, and someone who's able to hit all different kinds of pitching and can adjust to different approaches. You know, last year was probably an aberration for him due to the wrist. And when I talked to him at the All-Star game, he certainly kind of made the point saying that he had to make all kinds of adjustments last year because he was dealing with the wrist thing. But, you know, then you lose Lourdes Gurriel Jr. as well. And, you know, Varsho comes in, Belt comes in, and, you know, they've had moments, but, and not, like you mentioned, Belt got off the slow start, but you haven't kind of replaced that power in quite the same way. That's when the lineup got a little bit lighter. And so if in the ideal world, you can get someone who's another player for the other teams to think about, you know, Teoscar Hernandez certainly would be that. But again, I think it's going to be hard to get him because a lot of teams are going to want him.
Yeah. Okay. So it is going to be hard for them to get him. And yeah, I think that you outlined this well, even in your piece about Hicks. And I listened to you on Blake's show yesterday too, and talking about, hey, this is the market. It's a really tough one right now. But given, I'm trying to think about how to phrase this, given where they're at right now, the competitive cycle, and the fact that they've made a move like that, where, yeah, it's a bit of a deviation from their profile, right, to give up that much control for a relief pitcher, someone who's not under control. It's just like, that's not an Atkins or Pyro. We go, oh, that's classic them. It's pretty contradictory to that. Does that give you a sense right now in terms of when they're looking at those kinds of bats, that maybe they're going to deviate from that profile further? Or is your sense more that, hey, they did their one move like that, they're not going to get reckless and start to make more in the same vein?
Well, what's interesting, and you know, I wasn't able to kind of totally pin this down yesterday, but it sure sounded like the Blue Jays had their offer on the table for the Cardinals, and the Hicks deal got done when the Cardinals decided. It wasn't that the Jays upped the offer to get it done. And the Cardinals were like, yeah, this is a package that we want. We're going to do this. And so that approach, I would expect it to be similar, where they've got probably some pretty good indications to teams about where they're going to go. And, you know, the clubs may have to decide, and perhaps they could sweeten it down the road, or, you know, if they had to before the deadline arrives. But yeah, the Blue Jays typically have been teams kind of in trades with, they're kind of like, this is our price, and, you know, we'll do, this is what we'll do. If that's good, great. And if not, we'll move on. And so if that's sort of the model, I'm not sure, there is some deviation in terms of, like, we haven't seen them do this for a rental player, but they're not going to stretch themselves to a point where they're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they probably got a sense of where it's going to go, what it's going to take, and what they're willing to do, and how that all combines. We'll find out pretty soon.
So the last show that I did before taking my holiday, I had JP Ricciardi on, and I asked him about, yeah, the pressures that you feel as a front office when you know that, yeah, it's starting to heat up when we're talking about job security. And it's not even just about you. It's about the people that are underneath you and the staff that you employ, and knowing that, okay, if you're short of these moves, that it might impact what happens to you. What is your understanding today of, like, how secure Ross Atkins is, like, heading into this deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a significant factor right now. To me, when you're looking at it, the more significant factor is where this roster is, right? Because if you think about it, maybe not from a record perspective, but from a talent perspective and guys having great years, really 2021 might have been in some ways the best team, right? You've got Vladdy and Simeon going 2-3 in MVP. You got Cy Young and Robbie Ray. You add Jose Berríos. You just have a ton of guys. Bo and Teo are having all-star seasons. You know, they added Berríos that deadline, but they needed more bullpen help. They didn't get it. You didn't use that group, so you lost a bit of control. Then come back last year, they're a little bit different. You know, Bo and Vladdy aren't having the same years. You don't have Simeon. And again, they make the playoffs, but they don't get anywhere. And then this year, okay, so they're better defensively. They're pitching more effectively, but they're not hitting quite the same way. And you're going to lose potentially four regulars from this roster, from this lineup in the offseason, plus Hyunjin Ryu. So, yeah, you're going to have about $70 million coming off the books to work with, but that window is starting to close, and there's only two more years of Bo and Vladdy unless you extend them after that. So, to me, that's the pressure point. Like, this window, which a couple of years ago seemed like was going to be able to last for a really long time, it's starting to shorten up. So you have to leverage every opportunity, and you've got Matt Chapman and his elite defense at third base right now. You've got Kevin Kiermaier having a great resurgent season. You've got Whit Merrifield performing at an all-star level. You've got Brandon Belt having a really nice year. You know, those things are going to be hard to replicate in 2024. And then can you get all that health in your pitching staff again the year after? There's just a lot of questions. So I think that, to me, is what's urgent in the moment, more so than some of the other stuff.
Man, the 2021 thing is so hard to look back on. And I hate doing this because I got in so many arguments at the time about it because I was a huge Semien guy. But it really does stick out, the throw against the Tigers. And it's just like, what happens if he makes that throw, you know, and the Jays make the playoffs? And you can make it a million different ways, but that's just the one that sticks out. And that team just was getting hot at the right time. They had real momentum. And now looking back, it's like, damn, that might have been the group. And yeah, the window changing and the $70 million stuff, it's like, yeah, that's all well and good. But that $70 million can evaporate pretty quickly given all of the roster needs they have. And you look around baseball, it's like, how the hell are they going to replace Chapman? It's been a up and down season for him. There's been some frustrating moments, I know, for people. But like, you look internally, and I don't know if they want Addison Barger starting at third base for them next season. And like, the other free agent options at that position are pretty paper thin, which leads you to the question of being like, okay, you're doing another trade? Well, you're already pilfering from your prospect pool. Like, yeah, 2021 was like, man, the window's long and everything's happening here and you got the budget and the farm system is loaded. And it's crazy that, you know, you blink an eye or you bat your eyes for a second and you're looking at this and, you know, we're having this conversation about, hey, this window is a couple years from closing and it's already really urgent with this group. That's why sports, man, is like, don't treat the... I think this is probably a lesson for people when we look forward to the next time there's a team like the 2021 group. Okay, so back to the bats, though, with that urgency. And you mentioned it, that the prices are going to be high for some of these guys and that the market is pretty thin for it. But have you heard some names that these guys are at least interested in? I know that they're probably, like, checking in on everybody. But if you had to put some front runners out there as to, like, who you think is most likely to be a Toronto Blue Jay by the end of the day, what are some names that you're hearing?
Honestly, I don't have that specific, and there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of things, or suggestions, things people think the Blue Jays should do. In terms of what exactly their pref list looks like, I don't know. And, you know, like, I don't know that it's out there for a lot of teams. I think the reality is there's so few options that I think teams are trying to be as guarded as they can be right now, to not tip their hands to other clubs, again, because the options aren't there. But, you know, I think they're, in terms of potential interesting guys that are on the market, you know, someone like a Tyler O'Neill with St. Louis is intriguing, you know, and Adam Duvall with the Red Sox, depending on what they decide to do. You know, that's somebody who's proven, who doesn't shrink in big moments and has performed on high stages. You know, I think that to some degree, that's the type of guy they need. You know, everybody knows Tommy Pham's out there, is expected to move. And, you know, just that's kind of the group you're picking from. Then can you do something a little bit more creative in some way, shape or form, if you're going to get perhaps a little bit more aggressive? So I think in a lot of ways, like Teoscar Hernandez is, you know, in some ways sort of the ideal fit. You know him, he knows you, he comes back in, it's sort of seamless. I think given what he's been able to do in the past, that the players would be excited to have him back again, but it's a competitive market. And and the Mariners are weird too, right? All of a sudden they're like three and a half games out. Like, do they really want to dismantle everything at this point? So, I mean, you never know with Jerry DePoto. Yeah, it seems like yes, but obviously, but Jerry DePoto, you know, this is someone who can do all kinds of things, all kinds of wild things. So it's a really fascinating situation. And again, the Blue Jays got their return for Teoscar Hernandez. They're going to be in a rush to sort of give all that back. Mm-hmm. In a trade, in terms of from a value perspective.
Yeah, the other part of it too, I don't know if this is just a dumb guy thought, but if I'm the Mariners, I'm going to give you Teoscar Hernandez back. You have to pay a premium. Like, the optics of that, if you're Jerry DePoto and you trade for Teoscar, your team misses the playoffs, your group just sold the Blue Jays uniforms in your team shop like a week ago. Pretty embarrassing stuff. You know, the connection with the Blue Jays, like I was just in Seattle. I was walking around town. I was in the bars watching some of these games. Seattle sports fans are not super in love with the Jays right now. Like, I would say that they're not super popular and that they're not like welcoming them down there going, yes, the Blue Jays in town. We're so grateful that they're here. I would have to believe that DePoto, of course you're going to do the best thing for your club. Jays have the best offer, whatever. But there has to be a little point of pride returning him to Toronto, knowing that, yeah, some people are going to look at this trade and go, yeah, you guys won this thing. That's a good job by you. You similarly, almost to the Hicks trade, where people go, don't worry, you're definitely going to win the war battle here. You can't take back, like, I would imagine anyways, completely speculative pieces for a guy like Teo from the Jays.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's what's the best offer, right? And I get the optics piece, and yeah, you're right. The Jays fans in Seattle for a little while, it was kind of a neat thing. I think it was a curiosity. It got a little fun.
And they hate it.
The past couple of years it's definitely turned. Like, you could really feel it last year, where it was starting to be something that they resented. And again, tough spot for Seattle because, your baseball team, you like to make money.
Yeah, money's good.
You want to get as much money as possible from the people who want to supply it. But it was something that was tolerated to something now that is, like you said, resented, I think is a good word for it. So sure, I think that exists. But if that's a factor in your trade deliberations and it's not just like, what's the best talent for me here, yeah, that's a sort of a bad way to do things.
I would just think it's more of a all things being equal or things being, within a couple percentage points that you'd go, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do that to the fan base. Like, one of those things, right? Not the Jays are offering something so much better and you as a group are like, yeah, like we're going to do something spiteful. But just, it's got to be at least worth a percent, in my brain. It's got to be worth 2% even, if I'm going to go that far. I just want to go back one sec, though, to Tyler O'Neill, because he's a super intriguing guy, too. And, you threw his name just in the mix here, and he's someone that I've talked to a lot with people. And, he's not a free agent until, 2025, I want to say? There's one more year of control?
Yeah. One more year after
this. One more year after this one, right? Okay, so there's at least a little bit of control. You have a bit of an understanding of what it's going to look like for your team next year. Canadian guy, obviously. Someone who gets the Canadian thing, too. Like, obviously, represented the country, and I've spoken with him. He's super, super proud guy. Would clearly love to play here. But, 28, also a weird year. Like, got off to the start where, him and his manager got into it because he said he wasn't, like, trying hard enough or something like that. I can't. It was something like that, right? He called him out for his...
It was a base running thing, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, whoa. And then he shot back and was like, I'm not the guy that doesn't try. I was like, yeah, that seems right. Look at his physique. I think he's a trier. I think this guy likes to try. What do you think a price like that would be for someone who, maybe isn't as high up in terms of the impact of a Teo but has the control?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about him is that he could potentially have some impact, right? If you get him in a good spot. What's tough is when you're making acquisitions at the deadline, you don't want a project, right? Because if you make a move for someone and then they don't perform, what you've actually done is made your team worse, right? And the Blue Jays have tried that route a little bit a couple times. You think about like Brad Hand in 21. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the throw from Simeon. You think about the couple games that Brad Hand let get away. In some ways, that's just as painful, maybe even more significant. So
way more. And I'm sorry that I just completely had pushed that out of my mind. You brought that back up. And every once in a while, because he's still around, you'll see him, and I'm like, oh my God, no, flashbacks.
Yeah, I didn't mean to trigger you in that way, but
no, I didn't want that. I hate that trade.
The thing about Tyler O'Neill is that, like, you know, when he's healthy and he's right, he can be a pretty impact guy. And so it's an interesting kind of move. It would be more sort of a platoon-y kind of move, although you can certainly play him against right-handers. He's an absolute gamer. And I do think that he'd absolutely love playing in Toronto. I think he'd be one of the type of mentality where, you know, he'd be – the Canadian thing can be difficult for some guys because you become a focal point for anything Canada-related in the market. But I think he'd be equipped to handle that. I think the type of determination he showed to play for Canada, the World Baseball Classic, when, you know, he initially got a health rejection and he worked with the Cardinals and went through the entire process to make sure that he could play, you know, that's a pretty significant kind of dedication. And that's kind of player that he'd be. But again, there's another year of control. There's some value there. Mm-hmm. It's somebody who's been either a Gold Glove finalist or Gold Glove winner, so he can defend as well. He can play all three outfield spots. Like, there's a lot to like there. So, and the market doesn't have a lot of hitters. So, you know, I think you'll see a lot of different things kind of play out, and teams are going to do probably okay for their hitters in terms of return.
Yeah, I know you. I know you're going to hate this question, but you know me. I'm a gambling man. Over under Jay's moves today, 1.5.
Ooh,
you have to pick.
It's right on the line. I can see sort of two moves, sort of maybe one that's a little bit bigger and one that's maybe a little bit more complimentary. But I think it's just barely over.
Okay, so you're saying the over, but it's like, the over is like -115.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, you're set just right, I think, in terms of a bar. I think that's I'd be very surprised if we saw like 3 or 4 trades.
Yeah, but that would be 3 total. So yeah, it'd be 2.5 would have been the line of Jay's deadline moves because Hicks obviously counts. So yeah, overall it would have been 2.5, and we're sitting there and we're liking the slight over. All right, Shai, thank you for answering that. I thought that you were gonna be like, I don't know, I hate this question, but no, you played along right away. It was good. I loved it.
I do hate the question.
Yeah, but I know you do.
it's deadline day, and you're just back. So
yeah,
I'm
thank
not
you.
Be difficult for you.
You're
this
forgiving.
Morning.
That's a nice guy. Hey, Shai, thanks for coming on today, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Talk to you soon.
See you, pal. There goes Shai Davidi, senior insider for Sportsnet, senior columnist, all of those things. Okay, so I'd take the over 1.5 on Jay's moves today too. I feel like this. Okay, even with the bow injury, like what he mentioned there, I don't know if it's Tim Anderson, right? He's not saying that it is going to be, but that they've checked in on a guy like that. Mm-hmm. If they find out today that the bow injury is going to be, you know, 3 weeks minimum.
Yeah.
And I also, I know what he's saying about they don't want to tip their hand, but why would it be a bad thing to tip your hand that he's healthy? Like, that's the only thing I don't understand.
True.
Like, what, you have there's a disadvantage of team knowing that you had the guy that you had all along?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a team's like, oh, they might not have Bo, and they're like, ha-ha, we do have him.
He's on the roster
totally
still.
Fine. It's like, no, they're going to press you on that. So the bats are going to be expensive, but yeah, I have a hard time seeing them not making some kind of move for a guy that's going to be a regular-ish at least player, mm-hmm. and then someone else that's a depth guy who can, do something for this team if called upon situationally or whatever. Because, man, you saw it yesterday too. Like, every time I talk trash about Kevin Biggio, he hits a bomb. So you should bet the home run total over tonight. But last night, like that strike, I'm just, how many more times can I see you in a big spot? When we're doing the runners in scoring position thing is such a mystery. It's like, man, there's been too many bums that come up in these spots. There's been way too many Varsho and Biggio and Espinal and Kirk, and he's turned it around a little bit. But yeah, like there's a lot of guys have stunk this year for them throughout their lineup, and they keep coming up with these dead spots where those dudes have opportunities, and it kills the rally, puts more pressure on the next guy, and then you have this.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think some of it's psychological, and that's what I'm saying, is like they got to make a move for a guy who steps in there and everyone shuffles around a little bit. If we're going to play the game of, hey, look at all the quotes from the locker room, from the clubhouse when they got Hicks, right? It's Gossman spoke up and Chapman spoke up and Kiermaier. They rolled out all the vets, right, to give you that sexy, tantalizing quotes. And if those players in there, one of them was, I can't remember who said it, but one of them was like, it shows that we're serious, right? Those guys believe this stuff. Every single baseball player I've ever talked to has said the exact same thing. Like, what you do at the deadline matters to the group, and that, you know, feels like there's validation of what you've done throughout the season, blah, 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 blah. Then I have to think, to some degree, that if you add a bat in there and you've been struggling with runners in scoring position all season, and you add a guy who comes in and people go, damn, this guy is a someone, not just some flyer of a dude, not just some, oh, well, this guy's a righty hitter and actually his splits in the last month. Like, no, no, not that. That too, like, that would be nice too as a bonus, like a little cherry on top, like
a little complimentary.
Yeah,
piece.
A little sprinkle of that would be nice. But I want a dude.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
get a dude. And if it's Tommy Pham, if it's Teoscar Hernandez, one of those two guys, I think you need to grab one of those two. Again, you're in it with these guys. Shai mentioned it. They just had the 2021 experience where they went, man, we were close and we were quiet about it. And then last year, didn't break our way, Mariners, blah, blah. This year, it's going to be really, really tough if they don't get out of the wild card round.
Yeah.
And as much as it's annoying, they're still in the AL East chase. Like, they take these next two games from Baltimore, and it is going to flip the tone a little bit ahead of this Red Sox series. It's such an important stretch, man.
Yeah,
you gotta go grab a bat. You gotta grab somebody who can have an impact. And that's the thing I'm saying about Hicks is, yeah, I don't want them to give up their top tier prospects either. Who does? Who likes? Oh yeah, no, our number three prospect. Who's
yeah,
ever
ship him.
Been a fan of that? No. I'm not the extreme where you go prospects, because some people do that, right? They're like, prospects never matter and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, that can bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
And it bit them in the ass last deadline when they went out and got Mitch White. And we're like, oh, whatever, he's going to be part of our team. And now every time Mitch White comes in, you're like, damn it! No! Anyone but you!
Pent up aggression.
Oh, dude, Mitch White, please. No, God. Yeah, I can't.
The past week of energy.
The worst part
out.
About Mitch White is the second I saw him pitch, I went, that, this can't be right. and I don't care. Blake Murphy's right about a million things. My boy Blake was like, no, man, he's going to be good and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know, this guy. And he's that guy. He rots. Been right on like every single trade. No big deal, but yeah, kind of nailed him. Varsho.
No biggie.
The only one who stood tall in the Varsho smoke and said, I don't like this. I was the only one. Everybody just bent the knee. Was like, he's amazing. It was so funny watching him come up last night at the end of the game where he's got to face 100 heat. And I'm like, okay.
Lay down a bunt.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, do your bunt thing. He got a piece of it, though. It was good for you. Good for you, Dalton. Anyway, go out and get an impact bat. That's what I want to see. Your bullpen's nice now. I'm assuming Romano's going to come back. Your starting rotation. I didn't even ask Shai about Ryu. I forgot to. About like what the expectation is here tonight. Kind of a big spot for him against the Orioles, who I'm pretty sure kind of ended his career. If I recall correctly, he had a big start against the O's in 2021 before the injury and got lit up. And I think he used to own the Orioles. This is all off the top conjecture. I could have researched.
Back from vacation.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
just
I could have done the work. I did not do the work. But if I do recall, the big debate about his career was coming down to when it was the Orioles series. No, Austin shaking his head. He's like, no, it's bad.
He did have a really bad game against the Orioles at the end of 2021.
Yeah.
That might be what you're remembering.
He did not pitch against the Orioles in 2022.
Yeah, I didn't say 2022.
He said 2021.
Listen. You're shaking your head back there and telling me something when this is not, you're not even listening. Welcome back, Mackie. Like, king of being wrong and opening his mouth when he's not even listening to the show. Yeah, 2021. He didn't pitch in 2022, Austin.
Yeah. No, you're thinking about the one where he gave up 8 hits, 7 runs, and 2 innings. Yeah, that's the one you're thinking of.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, that was it. Orioles kind of ended his career. Mm-hmm. As he's a stud, lights out.
He had one all-right start against the Orioles after that, but that's probably the one you're thinking of.
Yeah, actually, I think that was it, though, that we had the debate about him playing against the Orioles, and then he actually pitched fairly well in that one.
Yeah, he went 5, allowed 6 hits, only 2 earned runs. Yeah. So.
All right, come on, Ryu. Need you tonight. Man, it would be so great if he ended up just actually having a little bit of a throwback season.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
That 2020, just, you know what? we should make him really feel at home. No one go to the game tonight. He was so good in pandemic. If you really care about the Jays, man, I might get fired for this take. I just realized. Yeah. You're like, so wait, your whole position was don't sell any tickets?
Yeah. If you really care about the Jays, don't go.
Don't buy anything from the team is what I would say.
Show you're a real fan.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He was always an Oriole killer.
Yeah, 47 strikeouts and nine appearances. Orioles killer.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right.
Bring it back.
Keep it going. All right. I'm going to do my vacation stuff in the podcast only portion. Feeling old. Feeling a little older after that trip. Feeling a little weathered after that sucker. Anyway, I got some good stories I'm going to share in there. But yeah, it's deadline day. So quick break and let's rip around and close out the show. All right. Definitely podcast only portion of the show today. Got to get back in the swing of things with the fellas. Got to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're seeing that the Orioles are pretty heavily in the mix for old Justin Verlander. By the way, I keep opening up different tabs on my laptop to go to Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll see
the
X.
Little, yeah, I know.
And I'm like, ooh, I thought I was supposed to close that before.
Yeah, it's a little suspicious.
Oh, whoops, close.
It's a little suspicious.
No, it's just, why, Elon?
It's a bad one.
It's such a bad one.
It's a bad one.
Lame.
This is the only thing that we all have to basically take an oath, is that we're all going to just keep calling it Twitter.
Yeah, I think everybody's on board.
I know, but this is always the way these things go, which is people are like, I'll never not call it this. And then, like, this happens a lot with stadiums.
Right.
You're like, it's always going to be this. And then you're like, until it's not. Like,
yeah.
A couple weeks later. It usually takes about a year. But if the first person I hear call it X to me in real life, they're like, I was on X last night. I'd be like, what? That's the stupidest thing about it, too.
It sounds
like you're doing drugs.
Oh, yeah. But also, what is like a tweet supposed to be called now?
An X.
No way.
Last night it was firing off X's after the Jays game.
Yeah, I have no idea what you call it now.
No, but is that actually what Elon was hoping for, that we would call
it? I don't know. I haven't heard.
I have no idea. But like, it's literally like, it's a word I think that's in some dictionaries, tweet and retweet. And we're now just like, oh, yeah, I re-X.
I just love that he's like, it's got to be X. It's got to be this. It's got to be X. We've got to have it. But we're going to keep Twitter.com because obviously, yeah, you can't have it be X.com. So what's going to stay Twitter.com forever? And so we're always going to call it Twitter. And the logo, he's like, man, someone design a logo for X. Remember that tweet? He was like, someone design a logo and we'll do it tonight. And then they come up with this where it's just an X. And
it's an X, like, with a little bit of line in the middle.
One chunkier part of the X and one just line.
It's tough.
It's like, one has an outline. Whoa, man. No, you definitely had to rebrand it for this.
Revolutionary.
God. We let some, you know what this reminds me of? It actually reminds me of, what's it got? Brent Butt? Remember from Corner Gas?
Yeah.
He used to have this bit where, you know, a guy did stand up before he did Corner Gas, and it was about Bill Gates and how there's a certain amount of money where he's like, how could you just not be crazy? How could you not just be like riding through Town Square, like riding a giraffe shirtless? Like, it's like, this is Elon. This is what he's doing. He's gone completely insane. Just way too much money. He's like, yeah, I'm going to take over the public square and I'm going to do whatever I want with it. But guess what? Still ain't using Threads, baby. X for life. Threads. If you're on Threads, you're an absolute dork. I'm sorry. Like, if you're just sitting there alone, you're losing it. Anyways, podcast only portion of the show. So subscribe and review. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be doing best bets later today, and then I just posted a bunch of stuff anyways on both, so end up going over there, follow, subscribe to the podcast, and we will talk more on the pod. All right, podcast only portion, we're back. Oh yes, the best part of my day, honestly. The thing that I look forward to the most was like, yeah, Bo got hurt, blah blah blah.
Blue Jays, whatever.
And then we're on fire. You with us, Mackie? What's up? You look all sour back there, screwing things up already today.
There's no sourness.
Yeah.
There's people out here touching the computer.
I did see a new guy today.
Yeah. No, Andrew's been here for like 3 months, man.
That's new. 3 months isn't new? I've never seen that guy before. He's 3 months. We're on a different side. We're in our own studio. This guy, that's brand new. 3 months? Mackie, I'm going to fight you today. Like, I honestly, first you buzz me in my ear, tell me I'm wrong, you're not listening to the show. Then you blame everybody else, and then you fight back on me about 3 months being new.
You, like, you were wrong. Ryu had one bad start against the Orioles. His last start in 2021 was fine. He went six. I have the game log right here.
That's what I just said. Yeah, last start in 2021 against the Orioles was bad.
You have the craziest brain, Mackie, where it's like you hear you don't hear anything, then you hear like one little part. And then you hyper fixate on this one little thing. And you'll do this before we like do the show. Same thing. Where I'll come in and you have poor young Joe in a torture chamber where he's that's not what I said. And you're hyper fixated on this one thing. And you're just gnawing
at
his
bone. It's exactly what Joe says
every
time. Joe doesn't know what he says.
You're
half the time.
Gnawing at the bone.
It's actually outrageous.
I know what I said about Ryu and the Orioles.
I won't fixate on this.
You know, this is, I came back and I was like, I had the most Sunday scaries yesterday, right? Like, I woke up and I was like, I'm not going to be able to
Monday scaries.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. I don't know how to get this done. We don't have any guests booked and we're just like in trouble and I got to catch up on so many things. And Jay's, all right, we're going to get back on the groove and I don't know how to do an interview anymore. You know, just at death, right? And again, my apartment, I normally like to leave my apartment tidy before I leave. Mm-hmm. I left it in complete disarray. I bombed out. I haven't slept properly in weeks. I knew my body clock, like I've been out west.
Yeah.
My body clock time of what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks, show starting 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Means 4:30 wake up.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's 7:01 for you right now.
Yeah. So it was like, I was just, everything was just in a tizzy. And I was like, I'm stressed out about all these different things. And then I walked into work today. I was like, oh, crap. Subway was loaded this morning, just packed full of people. I'm like, oh, classic establishment in which I grabbed my coffee at was a disaster again, where I waited 15 minutes.
We
for
know
my
that
thing.
One well.
I saw you guys. I felt instantly better. And then Mackie starts doing his just craziness behind the glass immediately. And I'm just already like back into just so upset.
Didn't you miss us?
Wacky Mackie just out back there just crushing me, hurting my soul with his beautiful mind. Anyway, trip was great. It was really good. I went to two punk rock shows. I got into Seattle on the Friday. I went and visited a good friend of mine that lives there. We went out. We had a time. Had way too many drinks for... It was just, you know, you're excited.
Yeah.
And everyone's there. And I knew that I had to do punk rock festival back-to-back days. So I was like, hey, guys. I tried to do the whole, hey, guys, not too crazy tonight.
Yeah,
I have to
relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's just
not go too nuts tonight. Ended up out. Had a beautiful dinner, awesome, awesome dinner that our friend, the local Rick, took us to. Mm. And then we end up going out to, just a couple of bars and getting obliterated.
Like, it's also like the beginning of your vacation,
yeah, I was about
too.
To say,
so
it's like
you're
the
all
first
hyped,
vacation.
You're excited,
yeah,
and you're like, we're starting this off.
It was
well.
Always going to be that way.
And the worst part is, too, is I've been getting back into craft beers lately.
Mm.
No, it's not good. It's not good.
My fault? Not good.
No, it's good because they're delicious.
Right.
But, you know... It's summer body time. And also, if you're going to be doing a bender, which I absolutely just did.
Yeah.
Like, that was I looked at my brother when we were driving to the airport. And I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to drink seven, and it was more than seven probably, but like getting kind of bombed 7 nights out of 10.
Yeah.
Again, I think that was it for me. Like, I think
that's a high ratio.
Dude, it was
that's
insane.
A ratio.
You know?
Well, you're drinking, like, double dry-hopped IPAs and...
You don't want to start that way. And that's what I'm doing. I'm at this bar, like, what's cool in Seattle that the locals drank IPAs? It's like, ugh.
It's like 7.5%. So cloudy.
No, I woke up for that punk rock show the next morning. I was like, we gotta get there. You know? We went out. We had a great... Although, this is a side note to this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to start a war here. No, Seattle.
I'm nervous where this is going.
No, but even, okay, so we're in Seattle, and the venue's in Tacoma, which is a little further south. And so, yeah, we go out, we find a breakfast spot. But, like, Seattle is northwest, right? And it's like we're a healthy place. So there's tons of places where you can get healthy food and do whatever.
Yeah.
But whenever we went out for just, like, a meal, and we went out for brunch one morning, we went out for breakfast before the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to order. I'm like, I'm in Seattle. I want some seafood. I'm going to get a crab omelet.
Mm.
It came out with the most hollandaise sauce and the most just cheese layered in it that I've ever seen any food be.
Oh,
it was just
boy.
Like, it just, and that's the thing. When you go out for meals, you have to be like looking around at what the portion size yeah. is and what the cheese situation is. Because Americans just like cheese for them is way different than cheese for us.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're not messing around with cheese. Like when they're like, do you want cheese? Do not order extra. You will not need extra no, cheese. Yeah. And this is where the war part comes in. Like I'm at the show and it's just a lot of socializing. Like you're just walking into people, you're talking in the beer tent lines, you know, like, and the lines are long and it's just, you know, people are like talking about different shows, socializing. We had VIP. And so, you know, we're in different areas and chatting with people. And it was hilarious how many people were talking to us about how like good a shape we were in.
Wow.
I'm like, yeah. And I'm in all right shape right now. Same, my brother, same thing. Like both go to the gym regularly, do this stuff, but it's like there. It's just, you
Adonises.
Do notice, no, not like that, but it's just, not like that, but it's just, you notice just the difference in Canadians and Americans in terms of just, yeah, like the food, the diet culture is just so real
sure.
there, man. Even in the
sure.
Pacific Northwest where it's like, we're into mountain biking and hiking yeah. and all this different mm-hmm. stuff. It's like the general population, you look around, you're like, yeah. We are in pretty good shape here.
Yeah. you know, like, I mean, Canada, the fast food options in the United States, plentiful and creative. That's
what I mean. And then I go to Northern BC and yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I'm the most out of shape guy here.
Everybody's ripped.
Everybody
they all
mountain bikes
and
every
ski
day.
And bike.
Dude, we did a mountain bike. We did a bike and it was 10K up a mountain to get to like where it was. Mm-hmm. And I cheated. I had an e-bike. Which is amazing, actually.
Yeah.
It's like,
for
have
sure.
you ever tried it?
No, but I mean, it seems awesome.
No, dude, it was so good. So yeah. I was doing it in eco mode for a long time because I was like, yeah, I want to feel this thing. But I'm talking like, this was an intense mountain bike. This wasn't like, oh, this is so fun. And so there's a couple of different modes on the bikes. And I'd kick it up into, there's like trail mode. And then there's, I think it's boost. And boost is the one where it like kind of shoots you up. And I felt like I was a professional where I was like, I am the man. Because it's pedal assist, right? I think some people think that those eco bikes are like, they just like, you know.
Or like dirt bikes almost.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like that. You
got
to pedal. And it was still hard. Like, man, I'm not a mountain biker. For me to do 10K uphill.
That's a lot. Yeah,
oh, dude, it was
big.
A lot. I got to the top. There was one moment. We would stop at little checkpoints, right? One of the guys in the group, my brother's best friend out there, Nate. He does it religiously. So we all had e-bikes. He had just a regular bike and he was able to keep pace with us.
Oh boy.
That's kind of stud that, you know, who's from out there is Dan Hamhuis, the former NHL player.
Yeah.
So they all track each other. He lives back out there. This guy is number two on their like Strava app
right.
behind Hamhuis. So he's just a stud on the bike, right? And he's flying up there. I'm like, how is this?
It's an impressive list
how is
to be.
Impossible?
Impressive guy to be beside. In
no,
terms
you
of
just have to be
biking.
In great shape to live in Northern BC. Like, yeah. I can't imagine how you would enjoy the lifestyle out there any other way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was such a taxing. It was like, I still go in the mosh pit. It was really taxing. I didn't go in for the entire festival, right? Like, I'd be taking breaks and I was limiting myself. Like, normally I'd be in there for just about every single show, but there was a couple bands I didn't really care about. It was funny being at the show. Because you're looking around going, like, my generation got old.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And the punk rock scene that I grew up, like, my first music love, which was punk,
mm-hmm.
that and hip-hop, but, yeah, I really, really dove into punk, and it was just my favorite thing. I was going to, like, punk rock festivals in, like, 2001 and 2002. Like, that's me in grade 8 and grade 9, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where I'm just hitting my, like, pure music stride. Those are my first real festivals. And thinking about how I'd be walking the grounds at those things, like Warped Tour, as such a little boy, and feeling like everyone was such an adult around me, because I was young for the scene. And now being there, and you're just seeing a lot of dudes, a lot of people in their like early 40s, still decked out in the punk rock stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was the same vibe when we went to Blink, right? Like, you look around and you're like, oh man, like.
But Blink was different because it was like, still, it was an indoor show.
Yeah, it was
just the one thing. And no one's like okay, there's a couple bands, like, if you know the band Pennywise, for example, their most famous song is Something Authority, right?
Yeah.
And they're doing songs like Society, and they're like, get into the mic, and they're like, we got a show that we could change the system. I was like, bro, we're all kind of part of it now. We're all old. We're part of the system. Like, yeah, we kind
of. There's like father of three in the mosh pit.
That's it. Like, we're just not. There was one band, the Suicide Machines. They were actually so annoying. This lead singer just would not shut up. About the dumbest, you know, when there's guys who take the mic and they try to say something thought provoking
and the crowd works lacking
and it's just I can't even talk about what he said. It was just so, like, he took the most obvious position on something and was like, I think that's bad. And we were like, yeah. And then he wouldn't stop going on about how he had a real job and how he's a real dad and how that wasn't punk rock. I was like, no, man, like, you're 50 years old and you're in a, like, middling ska band. No one's expecting you to just be touring the nation. Anyway, it was just, yeah, it was a little too much, but same thing where they're trying to talk to the crowd as though it's like we're back in the early 2000s like, we got to change things. It was like,
like, man, I got a mortgage.
Yeah, it's like everybody's done here, you know? Like, just let us mosh and enjoy
like
our
we're just living
youth.
Life.
Yeah, but it was really fun. And speaking of bruises, remember our bruise talk?
Mm-hmm.
I got bruises on both my arms.
There you go. Okay,
so I felt very much still like pit
legend.
You
earned it. You earned it.
Running around the circle pit like a lunatic, having a blast. I just, man, there's nothing. It was funny because one guy in our group had never really done mosh pits before. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to do it ahead of the concert.
Right.
But then he didn't want to be the only one in the group that was like standing to the outside.
Yeah,
so he kept doing
it. That's bad.
But he wasn't used to the fact that like people are just allowed to hammer you at all times like hit you in the back and do it. And he just kept looking around like he was going to fight all the time. Like, man, this is a part of the, this is part
you
of the pit.
Just accept the contact.
I don't think, I will say I'm not retiring from the mosh pit yet.
Ah, you're still going.
Oh yeah, I'm
you're
done.
Still going. Yeah.
I'm not done. I'm not done. I'm not done with it. I just, there was a little moment in during one of the shows, actually on the second night, where we went back and I stood at the back of the crowd for a bit. We went out and got beers during the intermission.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing back there. I had my like drink and I was standing at the back and they started playing a song. And I was like, oh yeah, I was just enjoy a couple back here and then we'll fly back in. And I just, I felt like not even a part of the show. I just, mm-hmm. for me, it doesn't click being just like a passive watcher.
Right.
I need to be in the mix on my feet and pushing people around and jumping around. And otherwise it just, it's not the same thing. But I know that all this punk rock stuff is like obviously coming to an end. It was sick though, man. It was so nostalgic. And
who was the best act?
Oh, NoFX by far. Yeah, no, yeah. It was actually incredible because I've been to a lot of punk shows and NoFX is one of my favorite bands ever.
Mm.
And I hadn't just somehow not seen them play.
Oh, sweet. Really? That's cool.
And so, and they have two albums called I Heard They Suck Live.
Yeah.
One is called I Heard They Suck Live, and the other one is second live album where it's like, I think it's worse or something like that. Anyway, they had had some clips where their lead singer lost his vocals at a show in, I think it was Munich. So the crowd sang along. It was badass, but I want to see them play, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They have a reputation. Like, they have a song called 60%, which is like, they're like, that's their thing. They give 60%. So I was like, man, this is going to be a little loose. Like, this is going to be a little tough. They're old punk rockers are doing back-to-back nights. They were so tight.
Ripped?
Oh, they were so tight. They were perfect. They played just about every single song I could have wanted them to. I was exhausted by the end of it. We did a huge road trip that I should never have been a part of the day after, which was really dumb, driving back to BC. But the shows itself were incredible. Like, it was really, really cool. Lots of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just, yeah, a great vibe in the crowd, too.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
sweet.
Just no violence. I didn't see, like, any fights. Mm-hmm. People getting along, chatting with each other. I met a whole bunch of different people from different parts of the States.
That's nice.
Different Canadians that we were talking to and just kind of going over, you know, like, old stuff. You know, old guy stuff. It was nice. Yeah. It was just nice.
Awesome. Just some old heads.
Yeah, it was just some old heads chatting about, you know. And you know what, though? It was nice to still feel younger because most of the people that listen to that music are a little bit older than me.
Yeah, yeah.
So
sure.
Most people, they'd be like, oh, you still go in the pit? Like, yeah, you're still young. Still your prime. I was like, yeah, I am in my prime.
Sure, I'm in great shape.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, you're in such good shape. You're still young. I was like, yeah, you know what? Never mind. Everything's sick. Everything's so good. So, yeah, no, that was really fun, man. Honestly, like, yeah, not retired from the pit. I thought this was going to be my retirement tour. I thought this was going to be a wake up, and I was going to be too sore to do it. And I was like, nah, I'm still a pit legend.
You're essentially that Vince Carter quote. I got one more in me. Except maybe one more.
Yeah. I don't know how many more I got in me.
Right.
Like, I'll tell you this. It was like 2 days in the red hot sun. It wasn't the pit. It wasn't the physicality of it. Now the old guy thing is that it's like, I'm like, where's all the shade? This is not put together. You know, they should have more water stations. Yeah, this is dangerous. You know, I'm just doing that stuff where I'm like, they need more umbrellas out here. They should be protecting. Oh, the medical tents must be filling up. Like, that's what I'm doing. That's lame. It's just, it's that. That's the perspective that I never would have had. I would have just come back with a monster sunburn, just completely cooked and dehydrated, and eaten McDonald's or something and recovered.
But I would have had to like mask out the videos to make you like not sunburn.
Yeah, no, I did get one little sunburn. It was funny because like I wore a beater the first day,
right?
And or I guess it's called tank top. I wore a tank top and I forgot to do this part. So I had after day one, like, you know, like the Egyptian gods, how they wore those, or the Egyptian pharaohs, they would wear like the necklaces. I basically looked like that. I was like, Imhotep. the ugliest sun.
Ra, the sun god.
When were you heading in the gates?
Usually around like 2 o'clock. The first day we went in at 2 and it closed at 10, so it was 8 hours. Yeah. And then the second day we went in at 2:30.
Nice.
I was pissed the second day. I wanted to be more chill, but my brother was like, we gotta go.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we got down there and it was a band that sucked and it was so hot and I was like,
Should've listened to me.
But he was right. He was like, we're coming down here for a festival.
Fair enough. Yeah. I get that.
We were going down for a festival, so it is what it is. But yeah, I think my festivaling days are behind me.
Mine are for sure. I used to be a big festival guy, and it's just too much for me now.
Sleeping in a tent. Joe, have you ever been to a festival?
I'm not really into festivals, to be honest.
Oh, they're the best.
Joe, this is my advice to you. It's like, make sure you do this stuff.
They're the best.
I will.
But you missed out already being pandemic baby, where it was like you missed a couple fun party prime years being in pandemic.
I missed 20 and 21.
That's what I mean. That's devastating. Like, that's a 21, you're supposed to be going down to the States and going on a road trip with a couple of your boys and being like, we can get in the bars down here.
Wasn't allowed to leave the country.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You got to do some of this stuff while you're younger. You got to sleep in tents outside and be super uncomfortable you know,
wake up at like 8 a.m. In like a sauna like tent where you're just like gasping for air.
Like Veld or Boots and Hearts and stuff like that. I don't know. I just never was never really like appealed to it for me personally.
They're the best.
For sure. But dude, this is the same thing where it's like, and
you got to just do it.
Well, yeah, especially one, I would say, you know, they always say like, don't die with regrets or whatever. I would say that one of my biggest regrets, if I have really any, is that, there's certain things that I like wouldn't do where I'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, that's kind of lame. And I'm like, but I never even really tried it, you know?
True.
Like,
That's fair.
And even so, like, I go mountain biking that one day and it was on the e-bike and it was hard as hell, man. Like, it was, and before I was doing it, obviously I was scared. You think I was like, oh, I'm just going to jump on this bike and do 10K uphill. Even when we first started doing the descent, I was like, holy crap. Like, I'm probably going to crash this bike. Like, I'm ripping down a mountain and don't have a lot of experience on a bike, and this is like really rocky, steep terrain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, get into it, learn the tip, listen to what they say, figure it out. And then by the end of it, I was legitimately doing 35 down the side, like, you know, down the side of the hill, being like, this is so fun, ripping down on this thing. Anyway, I just say, like, make sure you try stuff, man. Because I think when you're younger, you're like, I got all the time in the world. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. And I know I'm still like relatively young. So I'm sorry to
and
people.
And in great shape.
Yeah, in amazing shape. Yeah, even though I was like completely gassed
JD,
out.
You're in your prime.
Yeah, they were
all
like,
right.
Even though by the end of the nights when I was covered in dirt, oh, that was the only thing about the mosh pit. It was like, it's really dry and it was in a field and there was so much dirt getting kicked
up. Just kicking up, yeah.
Dude, our legs, faces, our shower in the hotel room after was disgusting. We left such a huge tip for those cleaners because they must have just been in there just scrubbing down that place. No, it was disgusting. We're like coughing up a lung. No, I did not feel like I was in great shape. And I'm not in great shape. But yeah, just like make sure you just give things a try. You never know. Like you're like, oh yeah, a festival doesn't appeal to me now. Buddy, I'll tell you one thing. You're going to be at a festival and, you know, maybe have try some things there and, you know, talk to some ladies.
Well accustomed to that.
And then all of a sudden you're like on a, you know, grounds with tents and they're there too. You'll be like, huh. You know,
festivals are sick.
Yeah, dudes. Festivals are sick. Festivals are sick. See, Simon and I are already like, oh yeah. And this one that I went to wasn't like a camp outdoors one, which again, I'm definitely out on that. Like there's just
I can't do it anymore.
No. If someone told me they had like a tent trailer or something, like a luxury trailer, I would go, yep, I'm in. We got a bathroom. We got like a shower, you know, and we're going to
clean floors.
Yeah. That I would do. But no, I can't do a tent anymore. Like this thing you just mentioned, the waking up in the middle of the night and being like,
every morning you just wake up.
No, I know. But it is so funny because you feel like crap in the morning and then you just get like a couple drinks going.
You just wake up and immediately start crushing beers.
Yeah, and you're fine.
It's the best.
I have like recently really wanted to go to like Boots and Hearts in the next couple of years because like I did not like country music at all in high school, so I never went, never like early, and then the pandemic hit and I was like 2020, 2021 couldn't go, and then last year got tied up with stuff like that, and then So yeah, like this year or next year, maybe the year after that, I do really want to go to Boots and Hearts because my friends go every year,
yeah,
and they always say it's
your
really fun.
Your friends go and you don't go. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I would be shocked if you would get through the weekend and
some
be
of
like,
my friends
yeah.
go.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
at all.
Oh my God, yeah. No, you'll just be like, ah, oh, damn, I wish I would have gone to those things earlier.
Yeah, like, even if I don't like it after the fact, it's like, well, I did it. Like,
no.
Experienced it.
No, you have to do that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you genuinely have to do that stuff. I remember, too, like, when I had zero money and I was just, like, a broke student. And I would know people that would, like, go to nightclubs. I was like, I'm not a nightclub guy. I'm just, like, a pub guy. And then, like, you started going to nightclubs and... Oh my God, this is so fun.
I had the same thing. I was never really into clubs, and then you started going, and I was like, this is the best.
You cannot live. Mackie, you a festival guy? You've been in festivals? You do that?
Oh, yeah. I lived in Montreal for 4 years, right? So I went to Oshiego 4 years. I went to Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Dude, can you imagine?
Oh, you went to Lollapalooza?
In Chicago, yeah. Nice. I've been there one year.
That's not the one I wanted to go to.
I can just picture you just staggered out on the lawn, too much sun, just staring.
Many beers.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 5 p.m.
Yeah. Beers aren't the problem when you go to festivals, Joe.
Yeah, Joe. But it's they're probably helpers. yeah, anyway, it was a blast. I had so much fun. And then, yeah, BC was great. Like, so fun. Mm. Had a blast with my brother. It was funny, though. I was so hungover. I forgot that I booked a first class ticket home.
Hello.
Until I...
Like hit the gates.
So because my first flight, I had to fly out of a small airport in from Smithers. Mm. So I fly out of this tiny airport, and I had priority seating up at the front, but it's nothing. It's just you're at the front of the plane. You board first. And I'm like, okay. I just made sure I was at the front because I wanted to make sure my luggage got on. I hate putting stuff underneath, so I always make sure. That's the most devastating thing is when you get on a plane, they're like, actually, this plane doesn't have room for the bag that we said that we could. You're like,
yeah.
Like, don't worry, it's going underneath. I'm like, no. Especially when you're doing a layover, you know, I didn't want it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I like have my luggage with me. I get on the first plane. It's fine, whatever. I hate it. The guy beside me is massive. And he's just like, I'm not giving you the middle armrest. And I was like, fine, you're huge. I'll just sit here and suffer. I hated him so much. I was legitimately giving him some just like, he fell asleep. And I'd be giving him some like phantom tremor elbows in his body, just being like, I hate you. And
there's a security cam footage. You just giving phantom elbows.
Oh, dude, if there's, definitely. Like, I was giving him a couple, just being like, oh, whatever, I hate this guy.
That should have been the video clip today.
And he was belligerent. Like, I hated his guts. In fact, I hated him so much that I almost, getting off the plane, was going to be like, where are you going? Make sure he wasn't on my next flight. Like, oh, because bleep, 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 bleep.
Change your flight?
No, he was trash. And we were only on there for like an hour and a bit. Mm. But I get on the flight in Vancouver. They call. They're like, oh, priority boarding. This is the point you're in. You're 1B or 2B. It's my seat. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I get in. And I was like, oh, right. I booked first class. I've never done it before. I've actually always sort of been, again, this is a lesson in don't. Knocks up until you hate it.
Right.
I was always like, that's crazy to pay that much more for a little bit of a bigger seat and like a meal that I don't want to eat anyway.
Right.
Boys, out of my favorite things from the trip, number one, seeing No Effects Crush 2 nights in a row and reliving my youth and spending it with my brother who like, you know, is my best friend.
It's your brother.
Number two, we did a river float day where it was like you know,
that.
Float the river.
I saw
the
that
BC,
on your Instagram.
West Coast, West Coast cool. move, just so great. Put a cooler on. We rented a massive paddleboard and went down the river and just like
sick.
Got completely bombed.
Love
like,
that.
Yes, and it was just like so fun. We rented this massive paddleboard that you could sit like five guys on.
Uh-huh.
So we had four dudes and a big cooler on it, and we were just like, and there was rapids and stuff. It was so fun pushing each other off all day, stopping at different islands, doing things like. Olympics, trying to do long jump, tossing rocks, just you know,
just
throwing down,
just
in the hardest way, you know, like so. It was
throwing
it was the bomb. But number three,
hey, lift that,
dude. Number three from the whole trip was the feeling of watching all the people go by me as I sat in first class,
complimentary drink in hand,
dude,
never sitting with you pores again.
I crushed a few beers. And I sat there and just drank and listened to my podcast, all the space in the room. I was actually next to a cute girl, which was so nice. Didn't talk to her barely.
Of course.
Headphones, right? Just headphones change the game with all this stuff. People are watching movies on the flight now. You can't just be like, hey, what's up? What's
she's
going
like,
on?
Hey,
right?
My name's JD.
Like, what? Yeah, exactly. He's like, no.
So you're taking an earbud out? Like, what
you were the type of guy, by the way, sitting in first class when people were walking by to the. To
get
the,
back there, pores.
Well, you were like smirking a little bit.
Yes.
Trying to make eye contact.
witness me.
Look where I am and look where you're going.
Dude, it was amazing. It was amazing how quick I turned from a guy. I'm like at a punk rock show. I'm like, yeah, you know,
mayor of the people.
The government. That's what sounds like, you know, just anti-establishment, to being the guy who, if someone from behind the curtain would walk up to the front to use our bathroom, I'm like,
just me, like, excuse me, flight attendant, pressing the button. I'm like, ding, 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 ding.
I'm like, sorry, where's your ticket? Are you?
What's your seat number?
Do you, did you not see the privacy curtain that we have? Like, they should walk up the privacy curtain. Yeah, it was like, if I have to wait to use the washroom because some peasant back here has to use it.
Some peasant?
No, dude, it was so, it was, honestly, I'll never go back. I'll definitely fly a coach for, you know, little flights, you know. If the flight's like 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah.
Duh. Just get a cheap ticket, even sit in the middle, whatever. You can suck that up.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything kind of over the 2 hour, 2.5 hour mark, especially at the end of a trip, that's what I would say. Is like, if you're going to the trip, you can book whatever. Like, you've got all the energy in the world. But knowing that you were dead from the trip and just, you know, no energy left, no patience for people, like, to the point where, yeah, that guy's spilling over to my seat and I'm elbowing his forearms, being like, I hope a little bone breaks your forearm and that it haunts you till the day you die.
I can picture your face. Oh, dude, that's the funniest part. I can picture like the JD annoyed face this guy's like spilling over and JD's
He was just passed out. He had the neck pillow. He'd obviously just like, I don't know if he took something or if he was just one of those guys who's passed out. But
took a melatonin, gone.
I hated him. I'll remember him for a long time. But no, just the feeling of getting in that seat and actually having room, being able to cross your leg, you know, like throw your sneaker up and not be beside someone. Oh, luxurious. Mm-hmm. And also the staff treats you totally different.
Oh, 100%.
Because they're all, like, they're taking care of you. Have you done it?
I've sat first class before, yeah. And it's like once. It was a bump up.
Oh, it was a bump up? Okay,
I've never booked it. God,
no. I booked it.
And it's still first class, though.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, it's a different world up there.
But they're like, the respect they show you is insane. And they're just there. They're like waiting on you. The people in the back, they're like, don't worry.
You like have to, like, it's the difference of having to wait for the cart to roll back versus like anytime you want anything, just being like, oh, hey, sorry. Just like one of these.
Yeah.
Like, it is fantastic.
I know. It was so great.
Try it someday.
It was just, yeah.
Try festivals and first class.
Yeah, festivals and first class.
Yeah, once that's included in my budget, then.
Yeah, that's what you got to try. All right. What are we at for time here?
10:27.
Let's get out of here. That was good for today. We'll save some stuff. Is there anything you guys really want to do today? We can do it.
Just say welcome back, buddy, you know?
Yeah.
Good to be buzzing with the boys.
I do want to hear your thoughts on the Travis Scott album after you listen to it.
Yeah, I meant to listen. There was Travis Scott dropped one, and then who else dropped?
Post Malone.
Yeah, I listened to the Post Malone somewhat on a bit of a drive, and my initial reaction was what it always is with Post Malone. Really like one song where I'll be like, ooh, that is nice, and then the next one will be
some
like,
catchy songs in there.
Okay, this is just like a crappy version of it's almost like he does just filler. He just has, like, when I listen to a Drake album, if we're going to compare these guys, like, sort of in the same tier,
like,
I know Drake's at the top,
yeah,
and I know, I guess, The Weeknd's higher up too, but, like, let's say The Weeknd, I feel like The Weeknd doesn't have as many like missed songs Post Malone has. That's the thing that, like, knocks Post Malone down a tier for me.
True.
Is his best ones go up with anybody's top bangers. Like, you know, like Rockstar comes on and you're out of a bar and you're like, oh, like, you know, it's just so good. Yeah. So incredibly good. But I just feel like he has more meh in his
more
albums.
More like pop radio songs that don't resonate as well.
No, just like the songs around the hits I never find are as compelling, you know, where I want to listen to the whole album. I'm kind of like, yeah, just whatever. Cut the Post Malone album into the three songs that are in here that are gonna be bangers, and then I find the rest are kind of like, I never need to hear this again.
True.
Whereas, like, when I listen to an entire Drake album, I'm always like, man, this is just sick all the way through.
He's dropping an album, it's August 10th, I believe.
Although, I think I didn't love, what was the last Drake album?
It was the House album, the Honestly Nevermind.
That was the last one?
Yeah, and then before that it was Certified Lover Boy.
Yeah, because Certified Lover Boy has...
That was the last, like, rap album that he actually dropped.
Are you sure it wasn't the other way around?
No, Honestly Nevermind was last, it was last summer. Because I remember listening to it when I was doing my internship.
All right.
We've talked about this before on the show.
I know, but I think you got it backwards. Not me. Either way, Certified Lover Boy, it was like, it was dead on arrival because the first song was like, can you do some for me?
Oh, and then, everyone
made fun of it. Was like, I was like, I could never hear it.
Yeah, Certified Lover Boy was 2021, and Honestly Nevermind was last summer.
Ah, damn it. Joe, one for Joe.
One for me.
All right.
Hey, I got the Hunjin Ryu stuff too.
Mackie, is there anything that you have to do today, that we have to do today on your end? Something you care about?
Like content-wise? Well, yeah. NFL training camp, but I can wait, right?
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of NFL stuff. Like, did you have any...
The Joe Burrow thing was terrifying. I was in the car with my brother, and he was like, did you see Joe Burrow?
Non-contact, all that stuff.
Non-contact, like, pulled up, holding his leg.
It was just crazy because it made me think about how fragile the season is, right? Like, if Joe Burrow goes down, it just... I even looked at him. I was like, that ruins the season.
The AFC completely changes.
Like, it just, it's the season is crap if that happens.
Well, we'll see if it's a strain, too. Also, Samsonov resigning, Murray going to LTIR. You got any thoughts on that stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what is there really to say other than hell yes?
Like, well, the Samsonov contract was almost exactly what you thought it was going to be. Like, but before we left, we were talking about it. He said it's going to be somewhere in the mid-threes, and that's what it's, you know. That's what you're expecting.
Yeah, the Samsonov contract was exactly what I expected. And I couldn't believe that some people were talking about how it was going to end up in the fours, where I was like, no, there's no way that's going to happen with this team. But the Matt Murray thing was a bit of a surprise. Like, because some people had been saying that. They were like, Matt Murray, LTIR, Matt Murray, LTIR. My position was always like, everything I've heard about this guy is that he's a competitor and he's dying to play.
Yeah.
And then it was like, here's what I'll say about the Matt Murray thing. And not to go against the Leafs here and not to, you know... Because I want him to go in LTIR. Like, how the hell is he ready for the playoffs? Remember that?
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
he's ready to go if we need him for playoffs. And then after a couple months of pure rest, they're determining he can't play for the entire season? It's a little shady. It's a little shady, man.
Oh,
it
definitely is.
I do wonder, though, if he's looking at it and saying, hey, I can get paid and just basically take a year off to completely rehab, live in a city I want to live in, have myself a time, do the Lupul thing, but then maybe don't retire after. Because Lupul was fine.
Stefan Robidas on line one.
No, Lupul was the most criminal offender,
bro.
Lupul was straight up. Don't you remember Lupul had the big video of him snowboarding down at the side of a mountain? And like, I know people who know Lupul, and I even saw him out in Toronto during him being on LTIR. And the guy was, like, beyond fine. They were like, yeah, no, it's actually one of those things where if you touch him in the back in a weird spot, it could flare up. And you're like, okay. The guy was done. He was fine taking the money, going out and partying, snowboarding, traveling, having a good time. Matt Murray never struck me as, like, that kind of guy. So I would be interested to know exactly, like, what shifted for him. Maybe he just thought, no one is going to want me and no one's going to play me. Like...
True.
Maybe I'll hit free agency and I'll go to a camp somewhere and try. I don't know. Maybe he didn't really feel fully healthy. He wants to have that time to rehab. But either way, it's a huge break for the Leafs, man. They would have had to give up a real asset to get off that money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they would have.
And even if it wasn't that, did you want, like, this year was cheap. I can't remember exactly what it was. God, see, this is like, I wasn't prepared for this one. But I think it was like this year was like under $1 million, right, to get off the contract. And then the following year was $2 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is, eh? So that's a huge break. It's a huge, huge, huge break. Mm-hmm. And then the only other thing I'll say from NFL training camps is like, Sean Payton is the man. He did the right thing. He did the right thing. And I hate
that he walked it back.
No, me too. I hate that he walked it back. Yeah. But that's always kind of the move that you have to do.
Of course. I knew that was coming, but I preferred talking a whole bunch of heat.
but the thing is, you have to kind of walk it back because otherwise now it does become a big distraction.
For sure.
It's like it's a never-ending story.
For sure.
Aaron Rodgers hilariously like... With his, he's got to keep my coach's name out of his mouth.
Keep my coach's name out of his mouth. I was very surprised.
No, I was like, or what, Aaron?
Yeah.
And like, he called him very insecure.
Like, also, okay. let's not lie here. It was a terrible coaching job.
But that was horrific.
Like, what are we talking about?
He told the truth.
Yeah.
This is a guy that started the season with, remember they ran the entire clock down against Seattle?
Yeah.
Minute, fourth and five, Peyton Manning jamming his hand, famously doing the timeout.
Oh,
what are we
God.
Doing here? Timeout. He's just getting so mad. He's losing his mind. And Eli's like, I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Manning cast was on fire that night.
That made Manning cast.
Yeah.
And then they ran the clock down like the entire way, took a timeout, and then instead of drawing up the fourth and five play with Russell Wilson, who they just traded for, they bring out the kicker, the idiot kicker, as Peyton Manning would say, And he,
I'll leave Mike Vanderjagt alone.
Mike Vanderjagt stinks. It was embarrassment. embarrassment to us for some large stretches there at the end. There's like two. We had two kickers. That was like their thing. What was the Steelers guy name? It wasn't, no, Sean Swisham was Canadian too, but he was with Washington. I thought that we had another guy. Anyway, no, I'm just thinking of like the other Steelers kicker that also got the Dewey, because it was like two guys that got Deweys on two big AFC teams around the same time.
Idiot kicker.
But yeah, they kicked that 63-yard field goal, misses, obviously. Seattle wins. It's the start to a horrible season for Denver. No, Hackett was brutal.
Yeah, he was
but
an
if
idiot.
You're Sean Payton, it's like you've just deflected all the blame from your players, and you're like, yo, guys, we're resetting in here. Your coach stunk. It wasn't you. Why wouldn't you want to juice up your own locker room and have it out there publicly?
10 out of the 10 move.
Awesome move. Awesome move. He was playing chess. Sean Payton was doing the chess move.
I love Sean Payton. Obviously, as a Saints fan, I love Sean Payton, but this also did make me go back and rewatch the 2009 America's Team video on the Saints Super Bowl, and I love Sean Payton. Yeah. That guy is crazy.
Yeah. He I don't think you guys are going to have as fun of a year this year.
Winning the NFC South, baby!
Yeah. NFC South.
Let's go!
Who else is going to challenge for that division?
What? Did you see the other video that came out of Sean Payton?
No, what?
Ah, okay. It has to be off air. He was hanging out with 16-year-olds in the basement, maybe doing illicit activities. The dude can hang. I will say that. The dude can hang. It was pretty impressive.
What are you talking about?
I can't. You got to see it. You got to see it. If you don't
know
what I'm talking
about,
it doesn't
work. Thing. You're like, what are you talking about? Now the Google is.
Now we have to look it up.
Oh,
is that
old?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, that's it. Anyway, yeah, I don't know that one.
Oh, this is the video that was out months ago of him hitting a bee in the basement.
Yeah,
apparently,
yeah.
Some teenager around.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
This was like floating around in like March.
Yeah. I kind of vaguely remember this thing.
Yeah,
it's that's legal now. All right, it's legal. It's basically, it's no different to
he's
me.
Also
than
in Colorado.
He's in Colorado.
Yeah. Shotgunning a beer.
He's coach of Denver. Like he's in Colorado.
Yeah, but I just like the move. I think he deflected blame. I think it was kind of an interesting one. They already lost Tim Patrick though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Achilles.
Yeah,
rough run of luck for that guy.
Well, just like. He's always one of those overrated guys, so you know, at least he's saved people from overdrafting him in fantasy. He's one of those like desperation at the end of the like middle round where you're like, oh, don't worry.
I can't believe I got Tim Patrick in the 16th
like,
round.
I think I feel pretty good about having Tim Patrick and Amari Cooper.
He's my wide receiver 6 with upside.
That's okay. It's when he ends up being your wide receiver 2. I don't think it's going to be a good year for them. I think that they're going to have a turnover year and that it's
going to
be.
Wait, who are we talking about? The Saints
Denver?
Or the Broncos?
No, Denver.
Okay, I thought you were still talking about the Saints.
No, NFC South is just going to be.
We're rolling, baby. Derek Carr slinging.
No, NFC South is just going to be.
Mike Thomas
whatever.
For 6 Carl yards
Olave
over the middle.
Connection?
Oh,
are you kidding me?
My favorite memes are like DeMar Hamlin came back from death faster than
Michael
Thomas came back from a toe injury. It's like there's nothing funnier
buddy,
than this.
6 yard slant, yeah, Mike Thomas. Then we're on 4th and 2, bringing in Taysom Hill. Let's go. Power.
Mike
QB
Thomas
power
the
to the right side.
It's over. Oh, I did enjoy too. Like, man, I love Jamal Williams. He's so funny.
Yeah. He's a weirdo.
He's like
it's great.
Making fun of whatever.
Beignets.
Yeah. And he's
beignets.
Like,
just call it funnel cake.
He's like, beignets. He's like, they're fine. If you like funnel cake. Like, yeah. This is going to go over with the locals. He's like, I just got here. All
he's
right?
so
like,
weird.
No.
It's great.
But I love him. I just think he's an authentic one-of-one kind of guy that I love. Yeah.
We need more weirdos
he
in sports.
He is who he is. You got to accept it.
I love it.
We need more weirdos across sports.
No, he's cool. I think that dude
you
is
see the video of the one reporter mispronouncing Pikachu and he like calls him out on it like in the middle of the interview?
No.
Like who else would do that?
I'm so excited for football, man.
Yeah, me too. Football, that's the one, that's the really good thing about like, okay, we're in August. Summer's almost over.
Yeah.
Oh my God, where's summer going? The only cool part is that you're like,
you see the training,
hey,
the training
videos
camp video
coming back.
Oh, yeah,
training
it's like
camp
now,
videos.
Now football training camp is legit.
Bijan Robinson cooking guys one on one, like
Saints.
Cooking a DB
Dak
coach
Prescott
one on one,
throwing interceptions.
Yeah. All the overhype things where it's like
love
you got
it.
Some undrafted rookie who's lighting
let's
up
go.
The no pads and they're like, this guy is
with the weird like toad helmets on. Yeah. Let's go.
Argos 6-0 JD.
Dude, Argos. I love the Argos.
Freaking wagon,
they're
man.
Such a wagon.
Wagon.
And you know what else I love about the Argos is that the Argos boys, like from the group chat I'm in now with the fellas that keep going, it's like, we're on top of it. I'm going again on the 13th.
You're in?
Nice.
Yeah, I'll see you there, buddy.
No, I already got tickets. I'm going on the 13th again. Although, I'm not going to do that.
Speaking of CFL news, by the way, you see this Elks thing?
No.
Yeah. They've lost like 27 straight
home
games.
The longest
home
losing streak in
that sucks
North
because
American
it's just like that's supposed
ever.
To be a place where people go.
I'm saying like that's like where the that's where the CFL is supposed to be like.
They never should have named the team Elks.
Should
that's a
just
rough
the
one.
Second they went with Elks to try to keep the EE. It's like you just had to completely rebrand. If you were really going to get rid of it, get rid of, like, if you're going to change a name, fine.
Like, don't do a half move. Like, yeah, you either go Elks. All out or
just such a bad
it.
Name. Elks is literally, it's like the club for old men.
Yeah.
The Elks.
The Elks.
Like, yeah.
The Elk Country Club.
Yeah. Hey, you remember the Elks?
The
like,
Elk.
Yeah.
the Elk Golf Club.
55. What?
Oh, Trey Ford's their backup quarterback, Canadian, out of University of Windsor, I want to say. He's a good player. First round pick last year. They keep starting Taylor Cornelius. It's a goddamn shame.
By the way, I'm going to do Best Bets, Patano Best Bet later today. So hit me up anyway, always on Twitter or Instagram if you want to play. I bought the Jays at plus 500 to win the division yesterday, and now they're at plus 650. I thought they're going to win the first game of that series. And I was going to get value. Now I think they need to win the next two. For it to hit that number, at least with the Bo Bichette injury, is just a massive part of that too. Anyway, all right, let's tie this thing up. Let's wrap up. That was a long podcast. All right, we will see you tomorrow.